ॐ छायामोद्बलावकुण्डनवतीं तेजोमयीं स्निग्धापाङ्गविलोकिनीं भगवतीं मन्दस्मितश्रीमुखीं वात्सल्यामृतवर्षिणीं सुमधुरं सङ्कीर्तनालापिनीं श्यामाङ्गीमधुसिक्तसूक्तिम् अमृतानन्दात्मिकामीश्वरीम्। We are discussing the 36th shloka of Saundar Lahari. In this shloka, Shankara is speaking about Sadha Shiva or Parama Shiva, his characteristics, and as to what a person would achieve or attain by worshipping Sadha Shiva. So we already know that Sadha Shiva and Shakti and Shiva are not both different, but they are the same. But still, if a person worships Sadashiva instead of worshipping Devi, if we worship Sadashiva, will he get the same fruit? Will he get the same fruit of Anandam, of Moksha? That is what is the analysis of Shankara. So we'll see the shloka and then get into the analysis, rather than analyzing the shloka and getting into the meaning of the shloka. This particular shloka is set in the raga called Natai. So it's a very quite a popular raga because of the famous song Mahaganapatim. So because of the song of Mahaganapatim and many other like Ganapati songs are based on Natai, therefore this particular raga is quite popular. So it's a raga called Natai. So an equivalent of this Carnatic raga called Natai in Hindustani is called Jog. It's a raga called Jog. So it's been used in few Malayalam songs as well as few Hindi songs as well. None of the song comes to my mind now, but there are songs based on the raga called Jog. ताये महामाये जननी जगजननी जपिक्युन्ने तव नामं सदा जपिक्युन्ने तव नामं। This is one of Amma's songs sung by Amrita Swarupananda. So it's set in the raga called, it's in the raga Jog, which is not exactly Natai, but it's an equivalent of Natai. So the most the song that comes to my mind in Natai is Amma's song is Radayullaidathilellam Kannanallavo Undasa Geetham Kandidoor Mayangavillayo na 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 la la la. So that's a popular popular song in the raga. So Natai is also known for his gambhiryam. So there are varieties of Natai. So Natai is a sampurna ragam, whereas there is a variation of Natai called Gambira Natai. One of Amma's song in Gambira Natai is Akila Loka Nayaki Ambati Nashini Saguna Viguna Rupini Sakala Durita Varini Akila Loka Nayaki Ambati Nashini Saguna Viguna Rupini Sakala Durita Varini. So it's a variation of Natai, not exactly Natai, but it's called Gambhira Natai. But this particular shloka, the 36th shloka, is set in the raga Natai. So the shloka goes like this. Tavajna chakrastam tapana shashi koti dvitidharam param shambhum vande parimilita parshvam parachidam. यमाराध्यन् भक्त्या रविशयुचीनाम विषये निरालोके अलोके निवसति हि भालोक भुवने। So there's a famous song of A.R. Rahman in one of the movie called Iruvar. So it was a movie which had like Mohanlal, and which was portrayed, if I'm right, like which was a portrayal of Karunanidhi or any other like MGR and another political leader. So there's a song in that sung by Unnikrishnan. Narumukhi, நீ ஒரு காதல் மாளிகையாய் நா 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 லா 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 Rasam that is depicted by this raga, and therefore there are not that many songs in this particular raga, but whatever songs are there, they stand out, like they stand out amidst a group of songs. And Vigneshwara or Ganapati songs are popular in this particular raga. So as explained earlier, Shankara is speaking about worship of Sadashiva. So he says, Tava Ajna Chakrastam. Tava, your Ajna Chakrastam. Ajna Chakram, we know. Chakrastam means situated in Ajna Chakram. So that who is present in Ajna Chakram, in the position, like who is situated between the eyebrows, or who is situated in the Ajna Chakram. Tapana Shashi Koti Dyutidharam. So, who has brightness, or who is bright like Tapana Shashi, Koti Tapana Shashi Dyutidharam. Dyuti means shining, or like luminosity, we can say, or brightness. So, brightness equivalent of Koti Tapana Shashi. So Kodi Tapana Shashi. Tapana means Surya, Shashi means Chandra. So crows of sun and moon together, like what would be the brightness or luminosity if we have crows of sun and moon together? Such a brightness is possessed by the person who is situated in the Ajna Chakram. Who is that? And Parachita. So Parachita means like who is Parachita. Parachita here means like Sagunam and Nirgunam both. So that Shakti who is Sagunam and Nirgunam and Parimilita Parshvam. So surrounding Sadashiva. So Sadashiva has brightness equivalent of crores of sun and moon together, and he is surrounded by Saguna and Nirguna Shakti. So Saguna Brahman and Nirguna Brahman both. And such a Param Shambhum, that is Paramashiva, such a Sadashiva, such a person, one day I prostrate him. I prostrate Sadashiva, who has brightness equivalent of crores of sun and moon, and who is surrounded, or like who is sandwiched between Nirgunam and Sagunam, Saguna Shakti. And so I prostrate such as Sadashiva. So mere prostration, what do I gain about Shankara prostrating? So therefore Shankara says, Yam Bhaktya Aradhyan. Yam, he who, that person, that sadhaka, who in this particular way, Bhaktya Aradhyan. So yam, like who worships this particular Sadashiva, Bhaktiya, through Bhakti, person who worships this Sadashiva, such a person, Ravi Shashi Shuchinam. So Ravi Shashi and Shuchinam, Ravi, we know sun, Ravi Shashi, Shashi is again Chandra, Shuchinam, Shuchi means Agni, so sun, moon and Agni, their brightness or their glory or their brightness avishaye, beyond, like the person who worships Sadashiva, he will be beyond the grasp, beyond the brightness of Surya, Chandra and Agni. He will not be able to be objectified by sun, moon and Agni. And Niraloke, he'll be like beyond eyes. So his reach or his particular state will be beyond perception. Beyond, he cannot be perceived by the eye. And Aloke, it's beyond this particular world, beyond beyond being in the world or being objectified by anything in the world. And Bhaloka Bhuvane. So Bhaloka Bhuvane. Bhaloka Bhuvane. So Bhaloka Bhuvane. Bhaloka means beyond the world. That means supreme jyoti, supreme brightness. Such a supreme brightness. The state of Bhuvane. In that Bhuvanam. In the state of supreme light or ultimate light. In that state. Nivasati, he will be situated in such a particular state. He surely, there is no doubt regarding this. So he generally, in many places, he is used to show that it's not something, it's not Arthavadam, it's something which is valid, it is something which is proven, which can be experienced. So a person who worships this particular Sadashiva, he will go to that state which is beyond the reach of Surya, Chandra and Agni, beyond perception of the naked eye, beyond perception of the world, beyond the world. So beyond the world doesn't mean it is beyond Bhulokam and it's Swargalokam or Mahalokam. Mahalokam or, sorry, not Mahalokam. Bhuvalokam. So Bhuvalokam or the land of manes is what we generally know as ghost or life after death, as is normally known. So that is just Bhuvalokam. This is beyond all lokas. It's beyond all lokas because there the sun cannot shine. The sun doesn't exist there. Sun cannot shine nor anything else can shine. So it is the same thing that Krishna says as Natad bhasayate suryo na shashanko na pavakah yad gatvana nivartante tad dhama paramam mama. So what Shankara is telling here is that person who worships this particular Sadashiva, such a person will realize Brahman. He will be in the state of Brahman. He will be in that state which is beyond everything. That which is beyond sun, moon, that which is beyond everything, that particular state will be a blissful state because there is nothing there. It is a state called Bhuma. It is that state which is beyond any limitation. It's a Purna Avastha. And such a Purna Avastha will give us Sukham, will give us Anandam, because there is nothing else but Anandam. That which is limited can give us limited happiness, or it will give us only sorrow, whereas this particular state will give us Anandam. So isn't Shankara contradicting? He initially speaks about Devi, worshipping Devi and realizing, and here he speaks about worshipping Sadashiva, who is between Sagunam and Nirgunam. So what does that mean? So it just means that worship of Sadashiva, Sadashiva is between Sagunam and Nirgunam. Sadashiva, worship of Sadashiva, knowing that Devi is associated with Sadashiva, that is better than worshipping any other form. If we worship Krishna, if we worship Shiva, if we worship Brahma, if we worship any other Devata, then we will not gain this particular fruit. That is Saguna Bhajanam, that's it. But worship of Sadashiva is not Nirgunam again, because Nirgunam means you are not worshipping any form, you are worshipping Nirguna Brahman. You are worshipping Brahman as pervading everywhere. You don't see any form, but you see Brahman alone everywhere. But here, it is between Sagunam and it is like between Nirgunam as well, between both Sagunam and Nirgunam. And it doesn't really matter for Vedanta as to which form you worship. It's not the particular form, it's not the characteristics or gunas of the form that determine your goal. It is the attitude, it is the right approach that leads us to the goal of Anandam or Moksham. It's not a particular form. Any form, we can worship any form. So when Krishna is questioned by Arjuna as to Oh Krishna, tell me like whether Saguna Bhajanam is greater or Nirguna Bhajanam is greater. So there Krishna speaks about Saguna Bhajanam. So he says, Mayyavesha manoyema nitya yukta upasate sraddhaya pareyopetaha te me yukta tamamataha. So he speaks about Saguna Bhajanam there, but still his Saguna Bhajanam, definition of his Saguna Bhajanam is not what we know as Saguna Bhajanam. Mayyavesha mano imam, ye mayyavesha mano. So who fixed their mind onto me? Mam nityukta upasate, nityukta mam upasate. Being ever steadfast, they worship me. They constantly worship me. They fix their mind onto me. They constantly worship me. And sraddhaya pareyopetaha, they consider me as the ultimate goal, supreme goal, final goal of life. And te me yuktatama mataha, they are good devotees, real devotees. That this is my view. Thus Krishna says, so that in that particular bhakti or saguna bhakti, we cannot find any sagunam there. We cannot find any sakaram there. Krishna's definition is not about the form. Krishna's definition is not whether Krishna is better or Shiva is better. The more and more we concentrate on Krishna, the more and more we are attracted to songs of Krishna, the more and more we get attached to the form of Krishna, we'll be led nowhere. We can say, oh, I know that Krishna is unreal, but still I like it. That liking itself will lead to our destruction in one way or the other. So that is what the story of Jadabharata clearly shows. Like a person who doesn't know Brahman to be formless, ultimately Nirgunam, he will get attached to one or the other form. Today it will be the form of Krishna, tomorrow it will be the form of Amma, day after tomorrow it will be the person who is teaching you, discussing you, trying to always stick to the person, depending on the person, and day after tomorrow it will be your husband, then it will become children, and finally it will end nowhere. Finally it will lead to our own destruction. So any form, it doesn't, like, it's not the form that really determines. We have to go beyond the form. We have to remember each and every moment we worship a particular form. We have to remember, we have to constantly remember that form is not real. It's only an illusion. If we don't do that, then we'll be the loser. We can't say Krishna didn't say that. He didn't give me a hint. Like, he didn't give me an indication that I am wrong. He has given a lot of indication in Gita. People who say that, oh, you didn't tell me this. Like, Amma didn't correct me. Those are all foolish people, because the corrections, all sorts of correction and things have been very clearly mentioned in Gita. There is no scope for doubt. It's beyond doubt, like whatever Krishna says. So in many places, avajananti maam moodaha manushim tanum asritam param bhav majananto mama avyayam anuttamam. Mama bhuta maheshwaram. So he says, avajananti maam moodaha, foolish, ignorant, idiotic people, avajananti maam, they consider me, what way? Manushim tanum asritam, as having taken this particular form. Param bhavam ajanantaha, they don't know the param bhavam, they don't know my superior or supreme state. Mama bhuta maheshwaram, that is the controller of everything. that person who is in everything, that person who is a substratum of everything. So it's not the form that determines whether we will realize, but it is our attitude, it's our knowledge that this form is unreal. So even when we are worshipping a particular form, whatever Krishna says there, it means that we have to constantly remember that the form is unreal. We'll have to do that by pervading the form everywhere. Whatever we see has to be Krishna. If whatever we see is Krishna, then there is no scope for saying, I like this song, I like this picture, I like this form of Krishna. The moment we say, I like this form of Krishna, that means we are not pervading the form everywhere. The moment we pervade the form everywhere, we'll say, I don't see anything apart from Krishna. Every song is Krishna's song. Oh, Amma says, sings, Jai Jai Janani, Jai Ho Teri, Jai Bhavatarani, Bhagya Vidatri. I can understand that only as the Janani, as Krishna. I can't see anything but Krishna. That is real vision. That is vision of oneness. That is when the form pervades everything and the form merges into the formless. And without that particular knowledge, so here Sadashiva, we already know that Sadashiva and Devi are one and the same. So Sadashiva here denotes nothing but Brahman only. Just a form, that's a temporary form for our worship. If we know that the form is unreal, then why should we stick to a form? Only a foolish person will say, I cannot do Nirguna Bhajanam. As if we close our eyes, we'll immediately Krishna will pop in our mind. That's what we feel. I cannot get away from Krishna's form, because if I close my eyes, immediately Krishna comes there. If immediately Krishna comes, if we close our eyes, then Krishna will pervade the entire world, because that form will always be there in our mind. If it is always there in our mind, then all the form that we see will be seen as Krishna. If it's not the case, then it's not worth of doing it. We should go beyond the form. If we can directly worship formless, then what's the point of worshipping a particular form? So the only reason that Krishna says in the 12th chapter again is that because people are klesho hi adhikadaraste sham avyakta sakta chetasam avyakta hi gadir dukkam dehavadbhi ravapyati dehavadbhi. The more and more we have deha bhavam, I am the deham, my body is paining, my body has migraine, therefore I have to lie down, therefore I have to get food from my friends. My friends have to drive half an hour, 45 minutes and give me food. Why? Because I have headache. Serious headache. As if there is only one person in the world who is having headache, and there is only one person who doesn't get food when he is having headache. So the more and more our deha vasana is more, I want my body, I need to eat, I need to do this, I need to do that, then we'll not be able to contemplate on the formless, because since we ourselves are consider ourselves as a form, therefore we will not be able to concentrate on the formless. So Krishna and Vedanta gives a easy way of slowly migrating from the form to the formless, and that is by pervading the form everywhere. But even when we are worshipping the form, we have to constantly remember that the form is an illusion. Any moment we forget that, Sache Bhajanam Yamaradhyan Bhaktya. Shankara said, worship of Sadashiva will take me to Brahman, give me Anandam, but I am not getting any Anandam. That's because we are stuck upon a particular form. Even when worshipping the form, we have to remember who is Devi. We have to remember who is Sadashiva. What is Sadashiva? Sadashiva denotes that primal being from whom creation, Srishti, Sthiti and Layam happen. So that means he is beyond everything. So between Nirgunam and between the world, if there is a state, unmanifested state, so that is denoted by Sadashiva. That means it is almost the same as Brahman. If we see the world, then there is a form. There is a supreme form which is beyond the world, which becomes the world, like Shankara said in the previous shloka. like Shankara said in the previous shloka, so a form which becomes the entire world, that is Sadashiva. And Sadashiva is also unreal because Devi or Nirguna Brahman, Nirgunai Namaha, Guna Vivarjitai Namaha. So that is what is the nature of Devi. That is what. So even while worshipping Devi, we have to remember Sagunam and Nirgunam. We have to remember that Sadashiva is also a special type of form and it's also unreal. Such a bhakti. And Shankara himself clarifies as to this Sadashiva is a special form, but he stands for Brahman. How? Tapana Shashi Koti Dhyutidharam. So Tapana Shashi Koti Dhyutidharam. So there itself, like Koti Surya, like Udyadhanu Sahasrabha. That means he is the same as Devi. And Devi is what? Chitihi, Chitihi Tat Pada Lakshyartha. So Devi is Brahman, Tat Pada Lakshyartha, Lakshyartham of Tat, Tattvamasi. In Tattvamasi Tat, the implied meaning of Tat is Brahman. Brahman is denoted by Tat. So Lakshyartham of Tat, that means it, Sadashiva is a form and it stands for Nirguna Brahman, and Shankara is very clear about that as well. If we forget that and then we stick on to a particular form, get attached to one form or the other again and again, then we will be the loser. Then like tomorrow we will start crying and say, I learned Saundarya Lahari for 3 months. I learned the entire 100 shlokas of Saundarya Lahari for 3 months. But still, it's of no use. I'm still having problem. I learned Mandukya Karika, Gaudapada Karika, Mandukya Upanishad along with Gaudapada Karika. Yet I don't have peace. I learned Adhyasa Bhashyam, but still I don't have peace. I met Amma hundreds of times. Like I have been with Amma for 20 years, 30 years. I have been chanting Lalita Sahasranama daily. I have been doing bhajans weekly. Still I don't have any peace. Why? Because this particular attitude, remembering Ishvara, remembering any particular form to be unreal and to stand for the formless, that was missing. If that is missing, even if we go to Chinmaya Mission and start learning there, still it will not give us any bliss. And then finally we will start saying, oh, Paramartha is really good. Like Amrita Swarupananda speaks a little bit normal, but Paramartha is really good. Tejo Menanda speaks normally, but Madhura Murali, so beautiful. He speaks so simple terminologies. He gives normal analogies. He says, you should do this, you should do that. So good. So attractive to my ears. All that will be there. And then once you go home, all attraction will immediately vanish. And then you did that, you did that, I did it, you did that. Everything will start. So that's not the purpose of life. So we will have to blame ourselves if after learning all these works, we still commit the same mistake. We have to improve. Life is based on improvement. The very purpose of giving us Ajna Chakram, or the power of intellect, the sixth sense of intellect, is to analyze, is to get over our mistakes. So past is a canceled check. We shouldn't brood over the past, but still we should remember. We should remember to rectify our mistakes rather than committing the same thing again and again. So we go for a discourse and listen that, oh, this should be done, that should be done. And the very next day we forget. While listening to the discourse, it will be so good. Oh, this is really good. What he is telling is really good. Oh, Shankara has said that you should always remember Devi. It's very easy to do. Yeah, I feel it. It's very easy. But the very next day, what will happen? My manager, my friend is bugging me. I have to go do this, I have to do that, I have to go to meet Amma, I have to go to join Chinmaya Mission, I have to sell my car, I have to sell my house, I have to do this, I have to do that. All those will start again and again. So life is based on improvement. If we are able to improve in our worldly life, we should be able to improve in our spiritual life as well. So there is no point of learning hundreds of shlokas without remembering even like one shloka, the import of even one shloka. There is no point of learning 36, 37 shlokas of Saundarlahari when we can't even implement one shloka, even part of one shloka. So what Shankara is expecting us to implement from this particular shloka is that worship of any form, it doesn't matter what form we worship, we should remember the form to stand for Brahman. We should pervade the form so that the form merges into the formless. And then yetu sarvani karmani mai sanyasya mattaraha ananyena iva yogena mam dhyayanta upasate teshamaham samuddharta mrityu samsara sagarat bhavami nachiratpata mayaveshita chedasam. O Krishna, you spoke about saguna bhaktas and nirguna bhaktas, and you said nirguna bhaktas directly realize. So what about saguna bhaktas? So Krishna says, yetu sarvani karmani mai sanyasya. Sarvani karmani mai sanyasya, who offer all their actions onto me. All actions, irrespective of whether it is good or bad. Oh, I cannot offer this to Shiva. We should remember the story where Hanuman was passing by and a person was urinating in the bathroom, chanting Rama's name. Hanuman went inside. What? You are like impurifying Rama's name. He gave him a beating and then like walked with pride. When he reached, when he went back to Rama, he found that there was like Rama's face at the was as if like somebody had hit him on the face. Rama replied that you had hit me. So it doesn't matter whether it's good activity or bad activity, irrespective of what it is. Sarvani karmani mai sanyasya, who offer all actions unto me, mat paraha. Not only that, they are ever into doing actions regarding me. So they are ever steadfast in me. Mat paraha. They consider me as the goal. They are always into me. Whether it is official work, whether it is singing, whether it is watching a movie, whether it is chit-chatting, whether it is doing sadhana, still they are always focused on me. Ananyenaiva yoghena mam dhyayanta upasate. They do dhyanam and upasana. What sort of dhyanam and upasana? Ananyenaiva yoghena. Ananyena yoghena. Ananya bhajanam. This is called ananya bhajanam, like what Krishna says. Ananya ashtyantayam toma. Ananya bhajanam, without any other thought. Whatever thought comes, immediately linking it to Ishvara. Oh Ishvara, everything is you. Just remembering that, oh, I have to like while driving, while eating, oh Ishvara, everything is you. Just remembering that, that is ananya bhajanam. It's not external activity. A person who is doing, who is constantly singing Krishna's bhajans, he is not a real Krishna devotee, because he is just externally doing it. It's not external doing what is required, it's internal chanting, it's internal remembrance. That is called ananya bhajanam. Whatever you do, it doesn't matter, it will come back to Krishna, it will come back to Nirguna Brahman. So even if it comes back to Krishna, that is fine. So this is the way we should worship. Ananyenaiva yogena mam dhyayanta upasate. So it is like offering all actions onto me, being steadfast in me, and having ananya bhajanam. All this remembering that I am Nirguna Brahman. I am that reality who is present everywhere. Tesham aham samuddharta. Aham tesham samuddharta. I will be the person, I will be their savior. From what? Mrityu samsara sagarat. From mrityu samsaram. From maranam. From death. From samsaram. Bhavami, I will become. Nachirat. Very soon. Why? Nachirat partha. Why? Mai aveshita chetasam. Because their mind is completely fixed onto me. So mind is fixed onto me means whatever the mind sees, whatever the mind perceives is Krishna. That means pervading the form everywhere. The moment we pervade the form, immediately, na chirat, chirat means, chiram means long time, chirat, in due time, like long time. Na chirat means like not in long time, immediately I will be their savior. That means if we don't benefit out of worshipping of a particular form, then we can be sure that we are not worshipping it the right way. We are lacking somewhere else. The very next moment we will realize, and that's what Shankara also points out here. So we have to remember that, like, if any form, worshipping any form or taking any form that suits us is fine, but we have to remember that the form stands for the formless. We have to pervade the form everywhere so that it merges into the formless. Let us all try to do that, at least by try to implement one shloka what Shankara says, which is very easy to implement, not that tough to implement. We'll continue with the next shloka in the next day. Hari Om.